Today's reading is from Colossians 3, verses 12 to 15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. Amen.
All right. So, last week we began a series on the theme of unity and healing within the local church. And our text today will be Colossians 3, 12 to 15. As we seek to connect the teachings of Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, and we'll connect it to practical steps to forgiveness. And our aim is to inspire ourselves and encourage ourselves towards unity and healing. I wonder how this topic resonates with you. Unity, healing, and today, healing through forgiveness. Let's face it, forgiveness is a difficult thing. We are not trying to paint, more beautiful than it is. But while forgiveness may be difficult, I'm sure you agree with me that it is essential for our healing and our freedom, both for the forgiven and the forgiver. I'm sure you'll agree with me. And so to me, it's a powerful act that will bring restoration right from inside even to outside. So Colossians 3, we see, provides us with some profound guidelines on how to live a life characterized by forgiveness. And in turn, when we do that, we ourselves individually will experience peace, and then unity will come from the peace that we have. So I will guide us to four steps today that I would like us to take home from this passage and then reflecting on healing through forgiveness. The first one will be to clothe ourselves with virtues. And go back with me to verse 12, Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So our passage begins with that conjunction, therefore. So that will lead us to thinking about what had transpired before then. What did the apostle say before this point? So if I lead you back to verse 9, where he began to say these things: do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. So since you've come to this stage, since that you've put off your old self, since you are now in a new camp, therefore, you found yourself in this plane, therefore, you have to clothe yourself with these things. Therefore, because we are now one in Christ, we belong to Christ. Therefore, because we have now the foundation laid for us on the Word of God, we should go ahead to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. As soon as I said this, it came to my mind, do you remember when Jesus cast out demon from that young man? And he said that if a demon or an evil spirit goes away, it goes and travels through arid places, and sometimes it will come back to find if the place from which, I don't know how to express, but it has been cast out, is all clean or is now filled with something else. If there is still space for him, then he will go invite his brothers and sisters and they will come back, and then the person's condition will be worse than it was initially. So if we have come to the place that we put off something, then we should aim to replace them with something else. So we've put off the old flesh, the old nature. We've put off the Adamic nature. We put off the sin that we've been wallowing in. And now we should put on these things. Now, why should we do that? Because he says we are holy and dearly loved. Say that with me. Holy and dearly loved. That's the way he sees us. Praise God. That's the way he sees us, because he loves us. He sees us as holy. As soon as I read this place this morning while I was praying, you know, I always do that. I was reflecting and praying, and then this came to my mind. No matter my flaws, no matter the fact that sometimes I don't get it right, but he still sees me as holy and dearly loved. He still sees me as holy. Because holiness is not what I do. Holiness is what he does for me. So he still sees me as holy and dearly loved. So because he sees me as holy and dearly loved, then there should be an effort on my own side to clothe myself with these virtues. It is quite liberating. I don't know about you. It is quite liberating for me, because the Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Sometimes when we make mistakes, you find that the devil will always point you back to the mistakes that maybe you made. But the Lord sees us as holy and dearly loved. So let's rest on that, no matter what. He sees us for the way he's called us. But having said all that, it is good for us to consider our relationships. Our relationships with one another in our family, in our workplace, in the church, in our business area, in the community. Now, when we reflect on our relationship with people, I wonder where kindness, gentleness, patience, and humility will come in. We all know that we are not on the same page, right? We process things differently. We deal with issues differently. Even in families, we are not all the same. And that is what, as you know, parents with young children, I know we all know this already, that the way you deal with or you treat, let me use that word, your children should be different. And the same way with teachers. When they teach, they should all always have in mind that these guys are not on the same pace. Some people are going to be slow. Some people might be faster than others in assimilating, in receiving, in processing, in understanding what is being said. So I wonder in our relationships where we'll need compassion, kindness. So I'll leave you for 1 second to think about it. Where should I exhibit compassion in relating with people that I work with, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I draw you back to what I said initially. It's easier said than done, but it's always very helpful, both for the person that is receiving these virtues and the one that is giving. But we must always remember that, therefore, because we are chosen by God, because He sees us as holy and dearly loved, and because we've put off something, we should always ask Him to help us to put on these virtues. And then number two, to bear with each other and to forgive. Verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. And pay close attention to the last sentence. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So we are reminded by the apostle that to forgive others, we have to aim to do that just as we have been forgiven by Christ. And that is why each time we say, forgive us, as we forgive those who sin against us, we are putting ourselves in a very difficult place. You know what we are doing? We are asking Him, I want you to forgive me the way I forgive someone else. That's what we are saying. Think about it. In my understanding, we are asking Him, oh Lord, treat me the way I would treat others. If I hold grudges, would you please hold grudges against me? If I don't forgive, please don't forgive me. So because we said to Him, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass, who sin against us. But to say it is that we should think about forgiveness as the Lord has already forgiven us, realizing that His infinite love brought us to the place we are. So we should aim to always do this and do this. Let God do the worrying about the wrongs that we've suffered. Because we always try to explain these things in the light of the wrongs that have been done to us. In the light of what that person has said, you know, what they have done, we try to weigh it in light of what has come out of what they've said or what they've done. But the apostle is saying to us, as Christ forgave us, let's aim to forgive people, leave the worrying to Him about the wrongs He's done to us. But we are called to bear with each other. If you don't bear with me, you will find it difficult to forgive me. If you don't trollet me, you will find it difficult to forgive me. And again, if you don't understand my thought process and why I do what I do and why I say what I say, I'm saying this to you, I'm saying it to myself, right? To all of us, if we don't understand others, if we don't understand why they say what they say, if we don't understand and travel maybe 1 minute on their shoes, if we don't understand why they've come to this place, we'll find it difficult to forgive. So He is calling us today to bear with one another. I'll tell you about this lady. I'll show her picture. Corrie Ten Boom. You know about, have you read? Yeah, you know? Good. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. A few months ago, I was listening to a pastor from the U.S. This is a pastor I so much, you know, respect, and he's made a huge influence on my life. And then he was talking to young people, and then he was saying that once he traveled with Corrie Ten Boom to the Netherlands for a few months and was under her ministry, and then he said several things about Corrie Ten Boom. As soon as I read this passage today, my mind flashed back to the woman and to what she said in this book, The Hiding Place. So Corrie Ten Boom was born in 1892, on the 15th day of April, and she died on the 15th day of April in 1983. You know, her date of passing, it sort of evokes some special Jewish traditional beliefs. I don't know if you've studied about this, that in Jewish tradition, that it's only specially blessed people that are granted the privilege of dying in the same day they were born. Has anyone? No? Only specially blessed people are granted the privilege by God to die on the same day that they were born. And as a Jew herself, it is a conclusion that she was very special. Anyway, Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian. And along with her family, I remember that they helped more than 800 families escape the Nazi Holocaust during World War II. They were eventually caught, and herself and her family, Betsy, they were put in Ravensbrück. Is that hard to pronounce that? Ravensbrück, the concentration camp in that city you mentioned. And they were put there, and we know what they suffered, yeah? We know what these people, they suffered in the hands of all these Nazi people. So, but after the war, she was, she became a believer in Christ, and she went on spreading the gospel and sharing God's love. But something happened in 1947 that I want to draw our attention to. She traveled in 1947 to Munich to share the gospel. And while she was doing that, she was approached by a man. And that man was one of the guards in that concentration camp, Ravensbrück. So she instantly recognized the man not because he introduced herself, but she instantly recognized the man as one of the very brutal ones. He was very wicked to people. But the man at that time had become a Christian. And so the man pulled her by the side and asked her, "Will you please forgive me?" And there was silence. She said, "I don't know if I'll be able to forgive you." And honestly, she described in her book that at that moment, she felt very bitter. And she said, "No, I don't think I'll be able to forgive this man." But she said a very silent prayer. "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And as soon as she made that prayer, she said that it's like becoming liberated. Something came on her. And she felt at that moment that she is now able to forgive. So she held his hands and said, "Brother, I forgive you. And I forgive you with all my heart." And she said in that moment that she felt a surge of warmth and peace go through her. And she realized that true forgiveness comes not from our own strength. True forgiveness, it doesn't come from our own strength. It comes from the power of Christ within us. And so she forgave the man. And she said at that time, there was a release from her. She felt released from bitterness that she's been carrying all the years. She felt a release, of hatred, jumped off her. And she felt something had been weighing her all the years she's been a servant of Christ. She felt at that moment chains broken off, and she felt healed. This time, not just physically healed, but emotional healing, mental healing. Consider the weights and the baggage we carry around when we fail to forgive people. But remember what she said. It's not by our own strength, but by the power of Christ that works within us. So I want us to reflect on any grievances that we may be holding at this time. Seek the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the strength to forgive, And let's keep in mind that forgiveness is what Jesus gave us, and we cannot do this on our own. And also, reflecting on the bond of perfect unity. And over all these virtues, put on what? Say it with me. Put on? Which does what? So love is what now binds all these virtues together. Over all these things, yeah? Put on the love of Christ. So as we clothe ourselves with all these virtues, the last garment that we need to put on is love. And love holds all these things together. So we cannot practice any of those things I've mentioned without practicing agape love, the love of Christ. And it will lead us to a place of restoration. And I remember in 1 Corinthians 13, he said this: if I give all to possess, to bless the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. I am like a clanging cymbal. I am making noise all the time. So we ask that God will help us, that we will have the love of Christ in our hearts. And then finally, the peace of Christ. Let's read together the verse 15, please. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. If you are like anything like me, I want you to underline the word rule. Rule in your Bible. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ, the Greek word there that the apostle used is the one they used during the sporting events for the umpires, for the referees. Let the peace of Christ be the referee. And where does it happen? In your hearts. Because all the things will be described, if you don't have the referee of Christ in your hearts, of love, of peace in your hearts, that's where it begins, then you will not be able to do this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since, as members of one body, we were called to peace. So that is where we've been called. And when we feel those feelings, those desires, when we feel those hatred, let's ask God to help us that our heart will be the center where these things will be settled. That is where, in our hearts, that is where feelings and desires will always clash, isn't it? In our hearts, that's where fears and hope will clash. That is where distrust and trust will always clash. That is where jealousy and love will always clash. So when these things are against each other, let there be a rule. Let there be an umpire. Let there be a referee reminding us that we have a duty to do this. So to live in peace doesn't mean that, hear this, it doesn't mean suddenly all differences will disappear. That's not what peace means. We will always be different. Yes, we will always be different. But it requires at that time that we work together despite our differences. So peace means recognizing our differences, but putting them by the side to be able to work together, because we are members of one body. There are things we cannot change, correct? There are things we cannot change no matter how we try. So let's not spend enough time on those things, but asking God to help us to live together. Do you know that I believe that love and peace they are talking about here is not just a feeling, but it is a decision that we make. Because, like, you know, you all know, in our relationships as husbands, wife, you know, siblings, you choose to love someone. Yeah? And that is where it begins. That choice. And you know, do you know sometimes in relationships when you choose to love, that is when now you will now be, how will I say, you will now be, those things that will do the opposite will be easily open to you. They will be obvious to you. And I believe at that time the Lord is trying to test your resolve if you actually want to love. So love is not a feeling, but a decision. And that decision is to meet the needs of other people. True peace comes from Christ. Let the peace of Christ. Let the peace of Christ. And it will only rule in our hearts. And as I conclude, I bring this to us, that forgiveness is not just an act. It is a process. And that process will lead to profound healing. It's an ongoing process. It's not just merely saying, I forgive you. It's about continuously walking through my emotions, through the memories, tied to the heart, and through the everything in between, so that I will find a release, a way to release them. So when we forgive, we acknowledge that actually there are some of those things inside me. It's always helpful to acknowledge them and not to pretend they are not there. Praise God. What did I say? I got you. Yeah, it's always good to acknowledge those things. Always good. Let's not pretend they don't exist. But what we are saying is that God will help us to walk through them. And so that we will see forgiveness just as Christ forgave us. Because he forgave me, I'll be able to forgive others. And I would like us to pray this morning, praying for ourselves. I'll, you know, just leave 1 or 2 seconds for us in our hearts to pray about any hurts, you know, to pray about any feelings of emotions, memories tied to the hurts that we felt. And let's find a release from the Lord, like this woman, Corrie ten Boom, found in the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you will help us to live out this powerful message from Colossians today. Help us, Lord, to experience the healing that comes through forgiveness as we reflect Christ's love for us. We pray, Lord, that, yes, on our own, we are not able to do this. But we ask that Jesus will help us, that your words, O Lord, will ring in our hearts, wherever we are. And each time we need to forgive, that the words of Jesus Christ will ring in our hearts and that you will help us. We are weak, O Lord, without you. And that's why we ask you to help us. Lord, we pray that you will help us indeed to the glory of your name. We want to be like you, Jesus. Help us every day in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.